We turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we read the whole of the chapter together. Our text for this morning is the first 9 verses of this chapter. Joshua chapter 1, reading from verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Amen. Thus far we read in God's perfect and inspired word. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the last time that we considered the life of Joshua from the scriptures was when he was commissioned into that position as the leader of the people, into that role as leader, because, as we saw last time, Moses was shortly to be taken away by God in death. Well, that time has now come, as we read about at the beginning of this chapter. Moses has died on the top of Mount Nebo in the land of Moab, and the Lord has taken him to be with himself. We are told in Deuteronomy 34, the very end of the last book here, in verses 10 through 12, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, in all the mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. And that was certainly true. And to this day, there has never been such a one as Moses and what he was called upon to do in the land of Egypt. But we're also told this in that same chapter in verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him as the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua steps into the place of Moses as God had commanded. And then, because Moses had died, all the people of Israel mourned for Moses for a period of 30 days, as was their custom. They had a period of mourning for 30 days for a great leader in Israel, and then they came to an end of that. So because of that, God now comes to Joshua. He says to him, it's time to move forward. It's time to go over the Jordan River and into Canaan. But God does not just come to Joshua and say to him, well, off you go. And neither does he do that for any of us. He doesn't say to us in our life, well, there you go, as it were, you're mine, and off you go, and just do your best, as it were. I'll stand back here and I'll see how you go. Not at all. Jehovah comes lovingly to Joshua to encourage him, to exhort him, and to set before him everything that he needed to take up this very daunting task, because daunting task it was. When you consider it, what was he called to lead? He was called to lead more than 1 million people, personally. That in and of itself is enough to sort of make you, you know, sort of tremble a little, isn't it? But consider what he was facing. What lay ahead of him was, first of all, the Jordan River, flooded, because it was at this time of the year. And then when he got over that, there's not just Jericho, but there's all of these powerful nations, so many people and so many different nations that they have to face and they have to fight. And what lay behind him, well, he knew all about them too. He knew that the people behind him, he'd had experience of them for the last 40 years, grumbling, complaining, full of fears and doubts and So this is the task that faces him. So God greatly encourages him at this time. And in so doing, because this is recorded in the scripture for us here, what God is doing is he's greatly encouraging every believer, including us, you and me, here this morning, to trust, to be strong and courageous. So we take up our text under that theme. Joshua exhorted to strength and courage. Under that, we'll consider three things. First of all, the emphatic exhortation that is given to Joshua here. Secondly, we look at the firm foundation of that exhortation. And thirdly, we look at the assured outcome. Joshua exhorted to strength and courage. In reading over what God says to Joshua at this time, down through those verses 1 through 9, what stands out is that God says something three times, doesn't he? And he repeats himself three times. And in the scripture, when God does that, when God does something three times, it is very emphatic. It is absolutely definite. And that the three times God says, be strong and very courageous. The first of all these is be strong. Be strong. This word that God says to Joshua, it comes from the idea of being bound up. That's the idea. Be bound up with strength. Okay? So it's the idea of like a little plant that's growing up and it's tender and it tends to sort of, you know, fall and flop over. And so you put in a great big strong stake beside it and you tie it up to the stake so that now that plant stands strong because it's been bound up, if you like. Or it gives the idea of something like a leg. Someone's got a leg which is a bit gammy and a bit weak, and And there is a brace that is put onto it, and it's strapped tight with good leather straps so that now a person can walk and even run on that leg because it's been bound up. It's made strong. That's the idea of this word, be strong. And the second word, that word to be courageous, carries the idea of being stout and being bold, moving forward with an assured and vigorous certainty. As it were, there's no hesitation. There's no uncertainty. There's no what if this or what if that, that all of that is put aside. And it's, as it were, that courageous going straight forward. God is saying to Joshua, in these things that I am setting before you here, I am commanding you to have a strength that comes from being bound up and prepared and ready and strong. And I am commanding you to have not the slightest hesitation to do exactly what lies before you and to be strongly confident in it. And what it was that he was commanding to do was to go forward. The advancing forward over Jordan into Canaan, and that Joshua was to be very strong and very courageous in that. God says in verse 2, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them. And then God gives him a reminder about the extent of that land. So he tells him that this is the land. It's not just that little bit you can see over the other side of the river. It's certainly from the edge of Lebanon that they can see there, and it's going to go all the way up north to the river Euphrates, which in the future will be up where kind of where Babylon is. And then it stretches all the way out to the edge of the Mediterranean Sea, and then all the way down south, all the land of the Hittites and so forth, running all the way down to the deserts of the Negev. So he reminds him of the extent of this land. It is a large and a good land. God is therefore giving direction for Joshua for quite some time to come, isn't it? Because Joshua understands to actually take and move into this land is not going to be a day or two. Okay, this is going to be at least many, many months of this work that is going to be involved for the people to take possession of this land. They go into many different places, all the places that their feet shall tread upon. Joshua was to do this without fear. Notice that, verse 9. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. And of course, the implication, if God is saying, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, the implication is there's going to be plenty that has the potential to make you afraid and dismayed. There's going to be plenty of that. There's going to be lots of that that you are going to face. You might be tempted to be afraid, tempted to be dismayed, not to be strong or courageous, not to go forward gladly with the confidence. But God says, no, I command you now and in the many months to follow, advance, constant strength, constant glad courage. Notice, and I've used the word on purpose a number of times, haven't I? That word command. God, and so often as he does speak to his people, he doesn't say, here you go, here's a few suggestions. This is something that might help. As it were, give it a go, see what happens. You know, maybe it will help to you, maybe not. No, this here, as God speaks to Joshua, this is the Hebrew form of what we call imperatives. There's no choice here. God says, Joshua, arise and do this. And that includes the be strong and be very courageous. That includes all of that. The be not afraid and don't be dismayed. They're commands that come from God. There are no options. There are no choices for Joshua, or in fact, for any of the children of God. This is the command of our King, of any servant of his. Beloved, I think it's important to see that, to see that these words that are spoken here, we ought not to stand aloof from this and say, oh, wasn't that wonderful for Joshua? It's not written in the Word of God for Joshua. Joshua died thousands of years ago. Okay, these words are written in the Word of God for you and for me as we read them here this morning, as they're opened up to us. This is our God and our King and our Shepherd speaking to our hearts individually and personally. No, we're not called to be a Joshua. No, we're not ever going to be called to lead the nation of Israel into Canaan. That's true. But we are called to live the Christian life. God does say to us, our Lord Jesus says to us, would you come after me? Then deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Come forward. Move forward. And this is how. Remember that we've been looking at right from the beginning that Joshua is a picture of the type of Christ. That's true. But Joshua is also at the same time a picture of every believer. And therefore we are to put ourselves right there in Joshua's shoes and hear what the Lord is speaking to us. As we saw last week also, that this right now, this picture of the people of Israel getting ready to go over Jordan and enter into Canaan and take up the battle against the Canaanites, is a picture of our Christian life. It's a picture of us needing to deal with all the enemies that we face in life, and especially our own sins and failings and faults that need to be defeated. And so this command comes from Jehovah, from Jesus our King. It comes to each and every one of us right now, wherever we are in our Christian life. And he says to us, be strong, be courageous, go forward, defeat all of the enemies that stand in front of you, possess all the promises and the riches that God will give to you. But we ought to understand that this is not some, as it were, a rah-rah speech, all right? Get that all the time in the world, don't you? You know, the football coach before the team goes out in the field. Guys, you got this. You know, you're going to win. I can see it. And the football team goes out there and gets completely defeated. And, well, he gives the same speech next week. You got this one. You know, that's not this kind of speech. Not in any way. Why not? Well, let's then, in the second place, look at the fact that there is here the firm foundation. The firm foundation. The first encouragement and the first foundation, if you like, for Joshua as he hears this exhortation, we find in verse 5. In verse 5 we read this. God says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And, of course, this is based on history, isn't it? Okay, history that Joshua has actually lived through. As I was with Moses. Well, Joshua knows exactly how God was with Moses. He was there in the land of Egypt when God used Moses to pour out those plagues upon Egypt and destroyed it and left it a smoking ruin. He was there and he walked through the Red Sea when Moses held out the rod over the Red Sea. He was there as God, through Moses, provided water from the rock and manna from heaven and the quails that came. And he has seen all of that, and he's seen how God was with Moses. And now he then hears, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So there's that for a start. But there's also this that is so amazing for every one of us. Who is God? Well, God is an infinite God. God is high and holy. He is everything else that the creation is not. We see the creation, we see the amazing complexity of it, the infinite nature of the universe. Who is God? God is the one that holds those things in his hands and upholds every molecule of it and knows the end from the beginning. He is outside of time, he is outside of space. He is that omnipotent and omniscient one. Our minds cannot even begin to comprehend. And yet here is the most astounding truth. God knows his people. That God knows his sheep and his lambs. And that word knows, it means that he has entered into a most personal and loving relationship with every one of them. He has known them from before the foundation of the world and chosen them in Jesus Christ and given every one of those sheep to his son. He knows us. That means he's come down. He stoops down. He condescends, the Lord of glory. And he comes down and he is with us. I will be
with you.
And we're reminded immediately of Jesus, aren't we? That's his name. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. He comes and dwells with his people, and it was pictured right there in the midst of the camp. Why? Because God's tabernacle, God's tent, was there in camp. There are the people of Israel's tents all around, and there was God's tent. God was living there in a tent with his people in a most wonderful and personal and intimate way. Do you know that's the same for us? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God. Jesus said when he departed from this world and he went into heaven, he said, I'm going from you, but I need to go from you because then I will send my comforter unto you. I will send the Spirit unto you and he will dwell with you. The Spirit of Christ actually dwells in every one of his people. He is with us in that most amazing way. Even more, God says to Joshua again in verse 5, I will not fail you nor forsake you. And they're, once again, very picturesque words that God uses here. The idea of fail is the idea of someone who's holding something and they've got a firm grip on it. And to fail means to relax the hold. Okay, it means to relax, to stop holding it so firmly. It means to take away one's attention from, in a sense. So it's a word, you know, someone's holding on to something and they, you know, turn away and they relax their hold and whoop, slipped. Oh dear, you know. God says, I'm not going to ever do that. Okay, I'm never going to take my eyes off you. I'm never going to relax my hold of you. Not only with you, but I'm firmly holding onto you with my hands. Never going to let go. And to forsake is to depart from. It means to leave, even for a short time. God is saying, not only will I not take my eyes from your hold of you, I am not going to leave you, not for an instant. Here's the most wonderful truth for Joshua, for all believers in Jesus Christ, isn't it? Here's the foundation for being able to be strong and courageous, and it's not found in us. God is not saying to us, you know, you've got to work up somehow this strength and courage in yourself. No, 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 no. Here's the foundation. God says, I am with you. As it were, he's the strong stake that he's put in the ground to which we are bound. And he says, I've got my hands upon you. And I'm constantly with you, and I'm never going to take my eyes off you, and I'm never going to leave you, not for an instant. We can, therefore, be strong. We can be courageous in him. We can walk forward in life to face Satan, to face the world, to face particularly our own sins and faults and failings. God is present with us to be, by his Spirit, by the Spirit of Christ, to be our strength and our hope and our ability to do any good thing. And not only that, but to be victorious in him. And of course, this isn't just the Old Testament. No doubt you've already been reminded of that wonderful verse that God repeats in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, notice that, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So there is the first part of the foundation, but there's another part to the firm foundation of this exhortation to be strong and very courageous. And that's found in verses 7 and 8. We read there, verses 7 and 8, read that with me. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Here, the next thing here is the foundation for all help and hope and courage and strength in this life. God says to Joshua, go to the law. And as we've looked at previously, when God says the law, he's not just referring to the Ten Commandments, okay? Not at all. The law is a summary for all that God gives. So what does the Word of God so far consist of? Well, it consists of everything here. Okay, Moses is now departed. Moses has completed writing the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And so that's the law of God that's written, that Joshua has with him, that he is not to depart from. So what's in that? Well, there's an awful lot in that. But if you like, to try and summarize that, what do we find in that? It's a record of God's creation, for a start, of how God made the world and his purposes in it. It's a record of man's horrendous fall and rebellion. It's a record of the wonderful promise of God that he's going to send a Messiah, one who would crush the serpent's head. It's a most amazing record of the unfolding of God's covenant with Abraham, so that the promises that came to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, so that Abraham became God's friend. We see also that it includes everything that God had given to Moses at Sinai. So all of those clear and striking pictures of how man can be reconciled to God through the shedding of blood, so that every year the Israelites therefore were now to celebrate the Passover, the blood above the door that shelters them against the angel of death, so that it was only in the shedding of blood that they would have forgiveness of sins and life with God. All of the pictures of not only being reconciled to God, but having an ongoing life in God. And through faith in God's salvation and by his grace, that God continues to rescue and transform us. And all of that is laid out through all of those pictures in the temple, in the tabernacle, and in all that you will find in Leviticus and so on. Beautiful life that they had with God. This is what is found in all of these pictures, all of which pointed forward to Jesus Christ to come, so that even Abraham saw Jesus' day and rejoiced in it. This is what Joshua is to be in. Here is the message which gives hope to mankind. The message of salvation, the coming Savior who would be both God and man, who is the power even now to keep and strengthen and bless and encourage every man, woman and child. So, what does God say to Joshua? Joshua, be always in this law. Be always in this law. This is the wondrous and gracious truth which I have given to you. Don't go away from it. Don't turn to the left hand. Don't turn to the right hand. Here and nowhere else. Not only that, but be in it day and night. You're to meditate in it. Joshua, study this word. Do you hear these words to you too from the king? Meditate in this word. This is where you need to be, brethren. This word is the word that is a word of comfort and strengthening and encouraging and peace and hope and joy to you for your life. Know this word. Be in it. Read it day and night. Take it up and think upon it and pray over it. Spend serious time in the Word. It's to guide you. It was to guide Joshua, and it's to guide us, so that we do not step one step outside of its guidance for us. And when we speak, just as when Joshua spoke, then its truth is to what comes forth out of our mouth. That's what God said to Joshua. This is what needs to come out of your mouth. This word, this truth, as you lead the people. In this way, both for Joshua and for us, the Word of God takes us and binds us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what all of this Pentateuch pointed to. That's what the whole of the Word of God points us to. It's to our Savior, to Jesus, that we may walk with Him. It binds us to Him. Do you notice those words? Be strong, be bound to Jesus. To him personally, to know him, to know that salvation that you have in him, to know the truth which will constantly come and renew you and strengthen you and refresh you and make you ready to walk in his paths. Be courageous. Your God is saving you through the sending of his Son, not just once in order to lift you out of sin and death, but he's coming to save you every day through this way. And Joshua knew God was going to send the Savior of his people. Joshua also knew, think about this, Joshua is standing on this side of Jordan and the land of Canaan is not conquered yet, but how was God going to send the Savior? Already knew. Okay? Deuteronomy 34, God is going to send another prophet like unto me from you. So where's the Savior going to come from? It's going to come from these people that are standing behind him that are yet to come into Canaan. Where is the Savior going to come to? The Savior is going to come to Canaan. Okay, God has promised the Savior is coming. And the only way will be when this people come into this land and possess it all. And in the future, God will bring forth the Savior there. Joshua can go forward with courage, with a conviction, with a strength. Because this is the way of God's fulfillment of all of his promises right from the beginning. For us, we know God is determined to bring all his people home to glory. Not one of them will fail. And he does that, first of all, by effectually calling us and joining us to Jesus by faith, and then by the process of sanctification. And he is going to work powerfully in our lives by his word. Be strong. Be of a good courage. Step forward. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for I am with you. And so we also see the assured outcome. Notice the way in which God speaks to Joshua. In verse 2, he says, "The land that I give them." Verse 3, "Every place that you tread, I have given." Not "I will give," "I have given." Verse 5, "Not any man will be able to stand before you." Verse 6, "You will divide the land for an inheritance." God is not speaking in uncertain terms, is he? This is a most sure promise of the outcome of Joshua walking by faith forward into the land strengthened by his God. And so he says to Joshua in verse 8, "As you trust and as you walk in this way, then you will make your way prosperous." You will make your way prosperous. What does prosperous mean? It means to advance and to succeed in that which is good. And literally what God says here is, you will cause to be prosperous your way. Okay, he's saying to Joshua, you, in the way in which you walk, will cause your way to be prosperous. Brethren, what happens with us? What's happened with you in this last week? Have the things that you have done, the ways you have thought, have they been good ways? Have they been advancing in that which is truly good? I'm sure that you confess along with me that very often our way, our road, our path that we have chosen to take in has been very far from that. You see, often the path that we travel in life and the decisions that we make is very sad because we choose to walk and to think and therefore to act and to speak in ways that ignore our Savior and they ignore his word and his blessing and the truth of his word. Does that mean God then takes his hands off us, leaves us? No. Sometimes it feels like that. But he allows us at times to go off in that way. He's still got his hands upon us. As we are his, we have a true faith in him. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never takes his hands and his attention away from us. But he allows us to proceed down roads that are foolish and are not relying on him and are not meditating in his word and are not taking that truth into our hearts. And we find ourselves what? Weak. Lacking in courage. Full of fear, dismayed. And he allows that to happen. And he comes to us gently and says, "Where are you? Return unto me. Come back to me. Meditate in my word. Think about all of the truth concerning my Savior and the wondrous love that I have for my people. Come unto me and I will abundantly pardon you for your sins and your foolishness. Come unto me and I will give you grace abundant." So, brethren, God promises the pathway of our life will be successful in a spiritual sense, with a peace and a joy as we rest in our Saviour, as we rest on this firm foundation that we have spoken of. But God also says that as we walk in this way by faith, resting in strength and the truth and grace of God, that we will have good success, he says. And the emphasis here, this success, it's a little bit different to what we would kind of count success as. It actually means this word, to be prudent and wise and attentive. That's the basic idea of this word. And that doesn't quite, you know, ring with our kind of Western idea of success, does it? To be prudent and wise or attentive. And to put it another way, God is saying, then what you will have is you will be applying the truth of the gospel to every part of your life. That's to be prudent and wise and attentive, isn't it? And this is great benefit because we will be drawn closer to God and to walk with him. Brethren, this is success. Let's not be caught up with the world's idea of success. You see, the world's idea of success is what? Perhaps we as a church, it's to have a great big church and a big building and to have, you know, money pouring in and great big programs and yeah, we're successful. That's not what God says. For us personally, we measure success by what? Having this fantastic education and getting a great job and a good income and you got a big house and you have lovely holidays and a house and a caravan and a boat and a, you know, I'm successful. God says that's not success. His success, to be prudent, wise, and attentive, to draw near to God. To draw near to God in Jesus Christ. That's success. It's to walk forward with strength and courage, knowing that we are in Christ Jesus, and knowing that we are being transformed and blessed by his word every step of the way. There's success. It is, of course, also that the assured outcome is to possess the promises of God, isn't it? That's the assured outcome. As Joshua and the people went forward, they were about to step into the land that flowed with milk and honey, to take possession of it. And that will picture us, okay? Just the same as we've seen before. Joshua, his name is Jesus in the Greek. We follow Jesus into the land that flows with milk and honey to take possession of it. What is that? Well, of course, it's heaven, okay? And that's where we're going, isn't it? Finally, of course, not only and we'll speak about this afterwards, Lord willing, in the forum, but not just the heaven that is now, but finally the new heavens and the new earth into which we will go, where all things will be made perfect and we will possess our resurrected bodies in perfection. But do you know, as we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, right now we're already receiving the promises of God. We're already receiving the inheritance. Just the same as the people of Israel, as they entered into Canaan and they were beginning to take the land, they already possessed the promises. Did they possess all of them? Not yet. But they already did as soon as they crossed that Jordan. How do we receive the promises? Well, we experience God with us, Emmanuel. And we know of the Lord Jesus and him being with us to comfort our hearts and to bless us richly.
We experience His strength and His courage being worked in us. And that's part of the possession of that inheritance. We experience His grace changing us. His grace that enables us to confess our sins, to confess where we've been wrong, to confess where we have been utterly pursuing wrong things in life and having wrong thinking, and we confess that and we turn from it. That's repentance, and that's grace, and that's possession of God's wonderful work in us. We experience this together as we walk in the church, and we encourage one another, strengthen one another's hand in the Lord. We are already gathering together and possessing the real promises of God, and then we are further assured as we receive those things of that which is to come. But remember that this is the way of possessing these promises. It is by faith in Jesus Christ. And then it is in the way of walking and working as God works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And therefore, brethren, I encourage you, hear your God this morning. Hear your King. Be strong. Be very courageous. Walk forward confidently in faith and take up all that God has promised to you. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful exhortation that you gave to Joshua, recorded in the scriptures so that your saints down through the ages, over the millennia, have continued to be able to read these words and hear you speaking to our hearts to encourage us. Lord, bless us richly. May we not just, as it were, hear them now this morning in the worship service, but may we take them home, that we may meditate upon them, that we may not depart away from them, but they may bless us richly in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.